Hey guys, Jason Agnew here. Now, you know my voice from Sunday Nights. We do the weekly Sunday Nights main event show, but I also do a show on Tuesday morning that reviews Monday Night Raw. I mean, we're forced into reviewing Monday Night Raw. Really, nobody wants to watch it anymore, but we do, and we eventually get to a review after myself and my friend and my co-host, Mark Andrada, chat about whatever the hell is going on in our lives. It's very much a slice of life podcast called The Midweek Markout, and you can get it each and every Tuesday morning if you sign up to be a patron. Patreon.com/SNME Radio. You'll get this podcast, an unedited version of our weekly recap show, plus a podcast each and every day reviewing Dynamite, Rampage, SmackDown, NXT, all that wrestling has to offer. We cover it. Patreon.com/SNME Radio. It's only $1 a week. Sign up. But now, here's a sample of the Midweek Markout.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, that just reminded me of, were you fascinated by Good Morning Vietnam as a kid? Was that like one of your favorite movies?
Now, I was not. But before we get into this, there is a buzzing on your end before
oh,
we
of course there
dive in. So I just wanted to, now that's gone.
Of course.
Now we can talk about... Good morning, Tuesday morning cooked.
Good morning. I don't like cooked as a name, man.
Yeah. Tuesday morning cooked. I was never fascinated by Good Morning Vietnam. Here's a little, here's something that's going to surprise you. Mm-hmm. I've never seen it.
You've never seen Good Morning Vietnam? That does surprise me.
Right? Because it's a radio thing as well, right? I mean, he ends up being like the disc jockey in Vietnam where everything's very sad, but he's happy in the morning.
Well, that's the whole premise, yeah. The whole premise is Robin Williams goes to Vietnam as an army radio DJ.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, I was about to do the whole speech.
I don't know what the speech is.
Good morning, Vietnam. This is not a test. This is rock and roll. Rocking you from the Delta, the DMC. He just does a whole, and it was on the cassette tape. So when I was a kid, I used to listen to that all the time. It was one of those movies to me that was like Slapshot.
That as a kid, it was one of my favorite movies. That and Major League, the baseball and the hockey, right?
Right. But Major League, I found, at least to my memory, because I've been watching a long time, was entertaining the whole way through for me as a kid.
Sure. I mean, Slapshot, for me now, it's entertaining the whole way through.
Sure. Yes. But Slapshot, I just rewatched maybe a week ago.
Okay.
And it's entertaining the whole way through. I enjoyed that movie thoroughly.
All right.
When I was a kid, I would just fast forward to the Hanson brothers. I'd watch the beginning with the goalie, and then I'd fast forward to the hockey scenes.
Slashing.
Yeah. You go to the box, you feel shame.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the rest of the movie, I was like, this isn't for me.
You see, that says something about those two movies, if you even now enjoy them, because you're not really a sports fan.
No, I mean, right? I mean, I enjoy sports. Listen,
you have not been in a depression for the past 24 hours, like myself and our NXT Talk co-host, Boris.
What? You've been in a depression. Why have you already?
So you don't
in a
even
depression?
Know. You don't even know.
No. Why?
You don't even know what happened on Sunday.
No, I don't. I'm sorry. I didn't listen to the show on Sunday.
Nope. That's not. Has nothing. It's nothing to do with the show.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Sunday night's main event. Something happened on the show.
No. We had a nice time. Matthew was wonderful. We chatted about all things wrestling and how stupid the draft is, which I'm sure will be the main focus of this show. By the way. We're giving this show, and I'll get back to why I've been depressed for the past 24 hours, but this show is also going out on the Sunday night's main event public feed as the weekly bonus for the freeloaders.
Ah, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, so you messaged when I told you that, because Boris is great. He decides on what goes up, and he's like, hey, it's draft. We should put you guys up this week. And I said, okay. And then you, Mark... after I messaged you and told you that we would be up on the public feed, so thousands of people would be hearing this instead of just hundreds of patrons, you said, well, I guess it should be good. And I said, no, Mark, as long as it's good enough, we're okay.
Good enough for business.
That's us. Good enough for business. No, see, what happened on Sunday, Mark?
Yeah.
At 3 p.m. on Sunday afternoon, every single team in Major League Baseball played a game.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Starting at the same time. And there was an incredible booking scenario that could have taken place that for the first time ever could have involved three, if not four, teams tying for the two wild card positions in the American League. One of those teams, of course, our babyface, the Toronto Blue Jays franchise. I was in there against the two heels, the Yankees and the Red Sox, and then, I don't know, maybe like the NXT call-up, the Mariners, who didn't quite make it. Right. The Jays won. They beat the Baltimore Orioles. They thrashed them. It was like three innings in, boom, they win. But because they had faltered earlier in the year, despite them winning, because the Yankees won, barely over the Rays, and the Red Sox had a come-from-behind victory, which even made it more heart-wrenching sitting there watching the Red Sox come from behind and secure the first wild card spot, despite the Jays winning on the final game convincingly, dominantly, they were eliminated from the playoffs.
That's very sad. That's very sad. I'm sorry that you will not have a reason to wear your bucket hat anymore this year.
Well, that's, you know, you make fun, but
I'm not making fun.
There's a tuxedo as well. You know that there's a tuxedo involved here. So let's not just leave it at the bucket hat. But you know what it is? This season was more heart-wrenching than previous because it went to the very last game. Because there was also, I mean, being wrestling fans, you know, you want to see that tie game and you want to see all the crazy things that could happen and it get complicated and you're sitting there rooting for your team. But the main thing that I now miss, there's two things. Number one, because I have a real job now, I would come home and look forward to seeing this game like every night and drag my poor lady friend through watching these things. But the other thing, I spent a lot of time messaging Boris and two of my other pals. Like, it was every day. Every day we would message one another about this. And, like, throughout the game, just be boom, 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 messaging back and forth all the time. And now, like, I don't know, like, I sent one of my pals a recommendation to watch something on Netflix because I'm just like, hey, what you watching now? But it's just not the same as rooting for people, talking about all the contracts, talking about where people should play. It's just like what we do for wrestling, but it's for sports.
Right, as opposed to sports entertainment.
Yeah, just very sad.
Well, I mean, you don't text me during Raw that much.
Well, because I watch it 4 a.m.
I know.
I figure that, would you want me to?
Text me at 4 a.m? Sure, my ringer's off. There's no chance.
Oh, okay. Well, I won't hear it. That's not as fun then. That's not as fun.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, that's on you. That's on you. That's on you for watching
what?
That. No, it's your fault. It's your fault for watching Raw at 4 a.m. This is all stems from that.
Oh, I thought you meant it's my fault for being a Jays fan and
well, I suppose being that as well.
Really down in the dumps right now. My whole lifestyle changed. I came home yesterday. I didn't know what to do.
This is the problem, Jason. Is that like you didn't? Okay. I used to work at the Sky Dome. I worked at the Sky Dome during the, I think it was the 93-94, the 2 years that the Jays won the World Series.
Okay.
Those were the 2 years that I worked at the Sky Dome as a vendor, running up and down those stairs, selling popcorn, peanuts, caramel corn, and licorice whips. And when they won the second year in a row, I was like, I'm good. I'm never watching baseball again. And I didn't. I left the at the peak. I left at the peak. I'm done. I walked away. Why are you still watching this thing?
Much like wrestling, I went in and out.
Yeah.
Oh, did you? I was into it then, and it was actually that last year. Here's a sad story. So I find when I play a sport, I follow it more. Like when I played hockey, I followed hockey like crazy. I play baseball. I play softball now. and follow baseball. But it was actually something that my grandpa got me back into before he passed. That's why we used to watch games together. And then it stuck on with a few friends, as I was saying. There's three different friends that I always message. But I went in and out of baseball. And here's why. When I was 14, which I think culminated with the Jays' second win, so like you were talking about, I was playing competitive baseball and my eye went bad. Like my, because I'm, you know, I'm blind in one eye, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Legally blind in one eye. So my eye faltered and I couldn't see a small ball. I couldn't hit. And like the new coach that I had that season got really mad at me when I tried to use like a colored ball to throw, which is ridiculous to do. But nonetheless, he made, so I stopped playing baseball and was turned off from all of baseball. It killed my love for the game because I couldn't catch, I couldn't see the ball, I couldn't hit. And I was like, screw this, I'm not watching anything. And then, due to my grandpa, I came back to it in like maybe 2013, 2014.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. That's a nice story. See, I also...
What a dick of a coach. This.
Yeah, seriously, we have very similar stories. I didn't know that about you. I played hockey for a little while as a child. Yeah, as a little kid, I played hockey. But the coach also gave me a hard time because I also had, I don't want to say like a disability, but a little bit. And like, yeah, the coach would just scream at me and scream at me to do up my helmet because I never did up my helmet.
Yeah,
like the little strap on the bottom?
That's safety, bud.
Yeah, but I don't have a chin.
A disability? Because you don't have a chin.
I don't have a chin. You've seen my face. I don't have a chin. So I would, if I did up the strap, it would choke me. I couldn't breathe. And I'm skating. I'm trying to like be fast on the ice. And I would just, he would scream at, do up your strap, Andrada. And I'd be like, it chokes me. And I just wouldn't do it. Or I would put it on and it would choke me. And then I'd just like undo it. Anyway, that was, so I just stopped playing hockey.
Just
because I couldn't do up the strap.
Strap, buddy. Like that's safety that you're,
no,
your coach
he didn't
is trying
want
to
it loose.
Protect you.
I would have it loose and he would be like, no, it's got to be tight to your,
okay, well, that's
to your neck.
Much. Wow, that's a bit much.
Thank you. That's my point exactly. All so right. I moved on to karate. I did
really?
Karate.
What a world. We are learning about Mark Andrada. Wow.
Yeah, came in third in Ontario. You didn't know? I came in third in a tournament.
What?
Yeah, you see, okay, look, if you see in my background, this is not great for the listener, but like you see my background, you see that like toy, that little typewriter back there?
Sure.
Right behind it where I'm pointing at it right now, my thumb. Yeah, that's a little trophy with a man kicking. That's my third place in Ontario trophy.
I can't believe that you kept your trophy. I did hoof all of my hockey and baseball trophies.
Well, see, here's the thing, is that it's not like I had a lot to carry around. It's not like I was like, oh, I got this case of trophies I got to move from apartment to apartment. No, it's just the one. I just put it. I actually bought a bunch of trophies from Value Village. It's a secondhand store. And I would display it because I was like, this is sad that I only have one trophy. So I went and bought a bunch more and just put them up in my old apartment. Two apartments ago, I did that. And I was like, I can't. I give them away again.
Wow. Yeah, no. I just, I think I just hoofed mine or tossed. I think I tossed mine to like a Value Village. So maybe you bought my trophies.
No, I would have, maybe. Maybe I did. Or it's more likely that a sketch comedian used it as a prop on stage.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. What are you watching on Netflix these days? You said you were making recommendations.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you for that segue.
Anytime.
I don't know if we've talked about this yet.
Okay.
But.
I'm going to pour a tea. So if it sounds like I'm peeing over here, that's not what's happening.
Yeah. Well, they don't know that. So, I found a series a while ago because I'm on season two now. Have you heard of Love on the Spectrum? Have we talked about this?
Oh, we talked about this last week or the week before. Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
Or maybe we just talked about it in IRL. That means in real life.
Well, we haven't seen each other in real life.
Yeah, I know, but maybe like offline or perhaps. Like, you know what I mean? Like off off podcast, whatever you want.
I can't remember if we talked about it on the podcast, but it's a dating, it's a reality show, and it follows people dating, looking for love, but they're all on the autism spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's just very lovable. We might have talked about this. I can't remember. But they just have no, it's real because they don't put on anything like a fake persona for the cameras.
Yeah, they have a different filter. Like they don't.
It's no filter.
Right.
They don't have a filter.
Yeah. So, I haven't seen it. Yeah.
It's great. It's you're also rooting for everyone.
On the list. Of course.
I think.
That's what I like. I like a reality show where you're rooting for everybody. It's like I like MasterChef Australia. It's just such a different. I find that European or, I mean, like other. I know. Anyway, whatever. I like American reality TV is often like the story is man versus man or, you know, human versus human. Whereas I just prefer a reality show that's like human versus nature or human versus, you know, the circumstance or the whatever. Like MasterChef Australia is one of my favorite reality shows because it's not, they're not like messing with each other's recipes. They're not like tripping each other as they go by. It's about all of them trying to accomplish a thing.
Right.
You know, I just prefer that. And then when somebody like stumbles or falls, somebody shows up to help them. Like they're just helping each other, which I think is
a bunch of baby faces, which WWE just does not know how to book, as we saw last night.
Oh my gosh. Is that you segueing towards Raw? Don't do that.
Don't want to do that yet.
Have you seen Only Murders in the Building?
I don't know what that is. No.
I just started that. It's on Disney Plus, and it's Steve Martin.
Oh yes, yeah, Steve Martin and Martin
and
Short.
Gomez.
I've heard about this.
It's good.
Yeah,
it's really enjoyable. I mean, it's nice to see Steve Martin do anything.
Is it?
You know what I mean? Like, I'd watch him. I'd watch him play
the
banjo.
Such a weird pair. Yeah, well, he's a great banjo player. He's like a Grammy Award-winning banjo player.
But they. What do you mean? It's a weird pair, Martin Short and Steve Martin. They toured together. Oh,
get out of here. You know what I mean. Selena Gomez thrown into that mix.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. You know what? She's perfect, though.
Yeah?
Yeah. For that role, like she nails it. She's so good.
So it's worth checking out. Put it on
the
checklist.
I think it's worth
that.
Put it on the list. I think it's worth checking out. Okay. There's very few shows that I'm like, have you seen Squid Game yet?
I've heard of this. Yeah, so this is the one the lady friends like. Everyone's talking about this. We have to watch this and give it a chance. What's Squid Game is a Korean show, South Korean show, right? Mm-hmm. And it's about a reality show?
Yeah. You're going to watch the show? I thought you don't like to watch things with subtitles.
I heard it's
you're
dubbed over.
Hate it. Oh, there is a dubbed version. You're right. There is a dubbed version. Okay. Yeah, what's the premise? If I remember correctly, the premise is that it's a bunch of poor people, and they're basically going to win a whole bunch of money, but it's all poor people. And it's, you know, it's like an escape room, except they get killed.
Yeah.
Like that kind of thing. I haven't actually started it yet.
Oh,
my friend,
I thought you had started. I was looking forward to a review.
No, it's on the list. My friend Chris, you know Chris Siddiqui. Chris has been tweeting about it, and I've been so busy that occasionally I just see Chris Siddiqui tweet about Squid Game, and I thought it was some joke he was making. Like he's because he always makes jokes, you know what I mean? Like, and Squid Game sounds like a sketch comedian's playing Squid Game. Like, yeah, sure. What's this bit you're doing that I didn't see the beginning of? Not a bit. It's an actual show on Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard about it. All right. Well, we should watch that and then review it next week instead of Raw.
No, because we have to watch Escape from the Undertaker, which I believe premieres today.
I'm not watching that.
What?
I saw the trailer.
You
this is a choose-your-own-adventure thing, right?
Sure. I don't know.
I think it's a choose-your-own-adventure thing. Like, you choose where the New Day's trying to escape from the Undertaker, but they're like, they're in the Undertaker's house, and then it comes to certain points in the Netflix series, and you choose what option. Do you want to go through the door? Do you want to leave? Do you want to open the casket? Do you want to open the urn?
I love that they're in the Undertaker's house. Every option is just Michelle McCool going, don't come in here. Then you got to go back.
She should have a cameo.
She should, absolutely. Yeah. If they're at the Undertaker's house, that would be, I would honestly laugh my head off. Don't tell me that you're not going to watch that. It's going to be good.
I'm not going to watch it.
There are so few things I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to, it's Halloween season. I'm looking forward to the Muppets Disney Plus Haunted Mansion special.
Oh, I didn't know that was coming out. That seems much out, more intriguing than the Undertaker's thing.
Yeah, it looks good. I think it comes out on Thursday or Friday this week. And what was the other thing? Oh, the Chucky TV show.
Chucky as in Rick Steiner's nemesis?
What? Who are you talking about?
Oh, come on.
I'm talking about the tiny doll. I'm talking about Rick the doll Steiner's that murders
nemesis.
People.
Yeah, Rick Steiner's nemesis.
I don't know what that
You don't
is.
Remember oh, this?
Right, yes, I do. Yes,
okay.
Yes,
okay, there you go. I can't believe your face went blank when I said that. There was a few people out there listening right now that got that reference, and anyone under the age of 40 was like, sorry, what?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, Rick Steiner, Chucky, appeared on Nitro on the big screen and taunted Rick Steiner.
As Chucky is wont to do.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a taunter.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Mark.
Yeah.
We've given our recommendations, and here it is for new listeners. That's what we do. We talk about other things that we like, and then we talk about Raw.
Which we also like.
Tuesday Morning Cooked. And
I hate that. Why do you call it that?
We now get into Raw. It's the second day of the draft. You know, we haven't heard your opinion on the first day of the draft, which was on SmackDown. How do you feel this all came together this year?
I think it's fine. I, you know, like whatever, right? Doesn't matter. Who cares? You know, I think it's, if you didn't know they were going to break up the New Day, I don't know what to tell you. You haven't been watching this program ever. Of course they were going to do that. I'm a little bit surprised that they broke up the Hurt Business considering they just put them back together, but not really. I mean, like, it's almost like they set it up so they could separate them. Right?
They broke up the Hurt Business again?
Wait, where's Bobby Lashley? Oh, did they all go to SmackDown?
They
didn't. I thought they're all on Raw, dude.
They're all on Raw.
No.
Yeah, Shelton,
I thought the Hurt
Cedric,
Business...
When
I thought they
Shelton
went...
And Cedric went in the supplemental draft after Raw last night, and Lashley... is on Raw as well.
Oh, my mistake. I thought that those two guys went to SmackDown.
Oh, okay. No.
My mistake.
Okay.
I don't have the full thing in front of me. You got the whole
thing? Well, that's
okay.
We'll get into it. That'll be the end of the show when we get into all the supplemental drafts. So it started off, though, with Becky today. Becky comes out to the ring, says she's going to make the executives mad. She's the number one Raw draft pick tonight. Sure, she's the SmackDown champion, but never lost the Raw belt. It's time for Becky Two Belts again. Remember how much the fans loved Becky Two Belts?
Oh, yes.
They did. I'm not saying that sarcastically.
No, I know. Like, I agree
fans,
with you.
This was huge. This was her, the tail end of her incredible run where Becky was down in the dumps, just started winning, won one belt, won the other belt, and then everyone was behind Becky Balboa, Becky Two Belts. Yep. Mm-hmm. You know what that is? That's a baby face. And that's what Becky should be. And this promo was a baby face promo, even though Becky is poorly trying to play a heel completely unsuccessfully. This was so far off the mark in what she was trying to do. She's the hero coming back to Raw, yet she's trying to present as a heel. This does not work. Becky continues on saying Charlotte has the belt, but since she beat her, Charlotte has become worse and Becky is better than ever. Charlotte then comes out, says they have unfinished business. Bianca Belair comes out. She's got unfinished business with both of them due to what happened on SmackDown. Neither of them are ready for the EST of WWE to become the EST of Monday Night Raw because she goes here now. Charlotte then shushes her. Total heel move. Makes sense for Charlotte. Bianca says, Charlotte, don't go here no more. Okay, that's over. Charlotte says, the only thing you should be doing is asking for my autograph because I paved the way for you. Becky then tries to coax Bianca into fighting Charlotte, which is cringeworthy. Charlotte, kind of like a John Cena cringeworthy thing that's really not over right now for her. Charlotte says to Bianca, I only give opportunities, not charities. And then all of a sudden, I have Pierce and Sonya coming out to interrupt, and Pierce demeans all three of them by saying, can we stop the bickering for a minute? And then says, Sonya says, tonight it's Bianca versus Charlotte in the main event, or maybe Pierce said that. Honestly, it doesn't matter. And then, as these three women who you're positioning in your main event stand in the ring, they take all the focus off them and decide to announce what else is on the show tonight. As these three women stand there, Sonya then dishes out Natty and Tamina versus Rhea and Nikki and a U.S. title match right now. Hardy versus Damian Priest.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
talk. You go ahead and break this on down, Mark.
Well, I'll start with Becky. I mean, there's all this talk. We all talk about how, you know, you're saying Becky is doing a bad job or whatever as a heel. She shouldn't be a heel. Is Becky a heel? I keep wondering.
She's a delusional human.
Is she or is she very delusional? That's how that is, right? Here's the thing about all of this. I think that these performers are smart enough to know that WWE books baby faces terribly. So everybody just wants to be a heel. Now,
I see your point.
Are they all just smart enough to go, I'm a heel to the company, and then go out there and do their best to cut a baby face promo so that there's still a baby face versus heel dynamic in the ring, while double dutying this and saying to the, for the lack of the better term or whatever, like, to the producers of the show, I'm a heel. So they go, okay, great, she's a heel. We're going to push her as a heel. And then she goes out and is like, I'm going to cut a babyface promo a little bit. Just enough to get cheered. Because she still got cheered tonight. She got the Becky Two Belts cheer. That happened. Right?
Yeah. Oh, I agree with you. She got that done. But this is, you know what she's not right now? Is she's not likable. No one here is likable. Even Bianca. I don't even think she's all that likable. She's the best of the three. Charlotte's playing a role. Charlotte is always, always dislikable. Charlotte is the ultimate heel in the women's division. Charlotte knows her character, and that's fine. And when she's left to be a heel, that makes sense. Bianca, I think, would play a better heel. I felt like bickering, Pierce saying that, was the right word. Because I felt like this entire segment was 60-year-old men writing for women in the way they think they should be written for.
There you go. Yep, you nailed it. That's exactly it.
They're just...
Look at the people who are in charge of the show.
Yeah.
I always say, the fish rots from the head, my friend.
Yeah.
So, I'm not putting this on Becky. I think Becky's great.
But I am putting it on Becky, because Becky's request was to be a heel.
Yeah, because she's smart enough to know that if she came back as a babyface...
But she was the exception to the rule.
Right. But she also, you know, she lives with Seth Rollins, right? So,
yeah, well, that's a whole nother thing with the garbage that he's doing now as of today.
Well, I think...
They're just playing the same character.
That guy, I can't tell. Yeah. I can't tell what's up with that guy in general. Like, are you picking on... Like, are you starting Twitter fights on purpose, or like is that part of your character? Like, are you trying to work Twitter, quote unquote, or are you just kind of a jerk? I can't tell.
I think it started as being a jerk, and then now I might be doing it on purpose.
Right. I just can't. I always think about, like, he got into that thing with Will Ospreay where he talked about, like, oh yeah, well, I make more money than you, or whatever he said, and then he got booed. I can't remember what event that was. I think it was here in Toronto. Was it SummerSlam or Survivor Series? Something. And he got booed. And I remember him looking at the crowd like, you guys don't know. And it's like, no, we booed you because you're a jerk.
Mm.
But he was supposed to be a babyface on TV or something? I don't know.
Well, I feel like they're both Becky and Seth, especially after Seth's promo today, which we'll get to with the jacket and all that, they're both taking promo notes from The Miz on how to play a heel wrestler.
Right.
And here's the thing. Neither one do it as well as The Miz, and that's saying something, because The Miz don't do it well.
What are you talking about? The Miz is great. The Miz is awesome. What are you talking about?
Miz is playing heel.
Yeah. This whole show is playing. But that should be the name of our morning show, Playing Heel, not Monday Morning Cooked or whatever you...
No, it's Tuesday Morning Cooked. Thank you very much.
Tuesday Morning Cooked. No. Playing Heel. Mark and Jason in the morning, playing heel. No.
But only one of us could play heel because we'd have to book someone as the babyface because we know what's going on.
No, we're both heels, except I'm going to keep trying to say little things to make people like me.
You're the babyface. We know in this scenario, you're the babyface. People will like you better.
Oh, just wait till that double turn. Oh, man, that double turn, it's going to be great.
So that means I got to go babyface?
Yeah, you go babyface, I'll go heel. It'll happen.
I'm a journalist now.
Yeah. Hold on, something's going on downstairs and I'm concerned about it.
Okay, go.
I know this is going to the... Oh, hold on. Something's happening.
Yeah, I mean, it is 7:30 in the morning, so something's happening downstairs. That's not ideal. I hope it's no one breaking in, though I don't think 7:30 would be all that great of a time to break in. But then again, I'm not a breaker-inner, so I wouldn't know when the proper time is to break in. Mark's back now, so I think everything's okay. Is everything okay?
Fine. Okay. Yeah, there's just a weird beeping. I doubt you could hear it because you probably would have said something, but
couldn't hear.
Yeah, there's a beeping and beeping. We lost power here briefly last night, and my oven was doing a weird thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Moving along with this show. So Hardy now Hardy comes to the ring after the announcement from Pierce and Sonya here, and then we learn how disjointed this episode of Raw will be. Because if you think about this, being in the arena, Hardy has made his entrance. He's standing in the ring. And then Sonya and Pierce come back out. And it's time to make the first draft picks of the night while Hardy stands in the ring. For Raw, Becky Lynch, SmackDown, The Usos, Raw, Bobby Lashley, SmackDown, Sasha Banks. Okay. You have any comments about those?
Well, I just think it's just so awful to do that to Jeff Hardy. I always feel bad for those performers. Yeah, it happens all the time, but it always did. Like, they would always do that kind of thing where, like, a wrestler would come to the ring, and then they'd go to commercial, and in the live building, that poor performer would just stand in the ring doing nothing. Same screen that we're watching. Yeah, this is way worse because there's a live thing happening.
Yes! Yes, of course there's a live thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so bad. He's just standing there waiting. Well,
is that for like a formatting of the show? I don't remember. Did Hardy come to the ring, then they went to commercial and came back to do draft picks? Yeah, so that's what it is that they're trying to get people to stay over the commercial break, right? So they format it.
So bad.
I get what's going on. I mean, what else are you going to do? What cliffhanger are you going to leave before commercial?
Well, like you can't close
a segment and then go to commercial, right?
You can close. Yes, you can. You can close the segment of coming. You can close the segment of announcing the U.S. title match and then saying, "But first, we'll get to the draft picks. That's next." Hardy stand in the damn ring.
That's not a reason.
All right.
That's a way stronger to leave it with Jeff Hardy coming to the ring. You're like, oh, the match is next, and then you wait. Through the commercial break, they come back and it's not the match. That is the story of Monday Night Raw.
Boy, Priest versus Hardy for the U.S. title. Hardy hits the Swanton. That doesn't matter. Priest rolls him up. That's your finish here. Hardy gets up. Priest thanks him. Hardy then does like the arm, gosh darn it, hand motion here. And then Sarah comes into the ring with Jeff saying, knowing you've been drafted, is there anything you'd like to say to the WWE universe? Jeff then says, going to SmackDown may be the perfect time to show a different side of Jeff Hardy, a different ego. So in 2 weeks from now, it's time for Willow.
You think so, hey?
But Bray Wyatt's gone. Like, talk about right on brand for WWE. Introducing Willow once Bray Wyatt / The Fiend is gone. And the demons on the other brand. Those are the two people I want to see Willow feud with.
Yeah, they don't know. That both of those feuds would have been way more interesting than whatever they're about to do, I bet.
Because they exist in a different universe.
Yeah. Maybe they'll bring Bray Wyatt back. Has he signed anywhere? We don't know. We don't know.
So Austin Theory comes to the ring.
Did you hear that Braun Strowman had a match? Anyway.
Yeah, he did. He had a match versus EC3.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Don't care.
Austin Theory comes to the ring. His dream has come true. His dream was to be in the ring with Jeff Hardy. He wants a selfie. He takes it, and then he hits Jeff with a clothesline, and then like a GTS-style move, he then takes a selfie with the passed-out Hardy, and yes, despite Instagram being down yesterday, it was up by the time this show happened, and he was able to put both of these on his Instagram. He did actually take the photos. So this is your change in the Austin Theory character. We'll see how it goes. I was a big fan of Dum Dum Austin Theory with Johnny Gargano. That probably wouldn't be his best character to come in alone to the main roster with. So Theory is in with a heel character.
Yeah. Everybody's a heel, man. Yeah. I love that he did post those pictures, though.
Yeah, as you should, right? Nice as touch. You should.
Yeah, of course.
So then we have Kevin Patrick in the back with Riddle and Orton. Riddle is happy to have Orton back. He says, is that a snake in your pocket or are you just as happy as I am? He talks about a snake shedding his skin. So yes, apparently Orton gets a boner when he sees Matt Riddle. That's what we're saying here.
I love it.
I don't think it was, but I mean, that's the type of stuff that Riddle needs to just throw out there just to try to crack Orton.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't think it was, but I mean, that is a particular joy. If they let him do that, that is the joy of that character for us at home watching to see if he can just make Orton smile. We've talked about that before.
Yeah.
Randy says at Crown Jewel, they will face AJ and Omos. Randy then challenges Omos to a singles match. And I will say, as the close-up went in on Randy, you had a head and shoulder shot and Riddle stood behind him. Riddle was exceptional here. Riddle's face behind Orton was very, very funny. And he just held this face and they left it on there a few seconds too long as WWE always does. And it was very funny.
That's almost part of the genre, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if you were to do a parody of a wrestling show or if you were going to put on your own, you almost have to hold too long after a promo. Yeah. Why do they do that? They've been doing
I don't know.
Ever since we were little kids, they did that. That was the whole thing.
I remember the one that they did it the most with, and I think it became a parody of itself, was when Shane Douglas was an interviewer in Impact Wrestling, and he just used to hold this crazy surprised face, and they would leave it on him for far too long as they went to break. And I think it became a bit.
Why do we do that anyway? Sure.
So Shayna Baszler comes down onto the ring. Recap the 2 weeks of Shayna destroying Nia and Eva Marie. Once again, it's Pierce versus Sonya that come out. So poor Shayna is just left in the ring to stand there as Raw picks Seth Rollins, SmackDown picks Nakamura and Boogs, Raw picks Damian Priest, and SmackDown picks the injured nose of Sheamus. Who just had surgery, so he won't be around for a while, but SmackDown picked him. Shayna versus Dana Brooke is next. Dana Brooke did not get an entrance. They are both just standing in the ring. Shayna chokes out Dana, goes to stomp on her hand on the steps because that's her gimmick now, and Doudrop comes out. She stops Shayna, offers a hand to Dana. As she turns her back on Shayna, Shayna hits Doudrop. Doudrop no-sells Shayna hitting her, stares back at Shayna. You know, it's a program that has every reason to be good, considering the two performers, but Doudrop has been so tainted by what they've done with her recently and the skipping down to the ring. I'm wondering if they are going to change the character here and have her skip down to the ring but be a badass when she gets there.
I hope so. That's what it looks like, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope so. I because you know how I feel about, I refuse. I know it's not helpful, but I refuse. Piper Niven, can I please just call her Piper Niven?
Yeah,
I agree. You know how much I care. I like this performer and I like this character. Well, that character. I'm hoping that this is exactly what you're saying. That like the skipping and all of that silliness, like it is basically, what am I looking for here? What was the name of that tag team? Oh, the Fashion Police, Jason. Why am I blanking?
Yeah.
Well, Breezango.
Yeah.
Remember Breezango when they were like, they're all smiles when they come to the ring, but they're serious when they start. But then they weren't serious.
They tried and they didn't try well. They half-assed it and that ruined it.
Yeah. I'll say this. There's something about the flower behind Dewdrop's ear or like in her hair when she comes to the ring that really irks me.
That irks you? I thought you were going to say you liked it.
No, the flower behind her ear just bothers me and I don't know what it is about it. I'm going to think about what this is and I'm just like, I hate that part of this.
Wow.
I've never flower in your hair?
Passionate about a flower.
But it just feels like there's something about it that feels so 80s in a way that I don't like.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
No. not at all. I never gave it a thought.
Well, I mean, who wears flowers in their hair? That's such a 80s wrestler thing. Like, you know what I mean?
Ugh. Okay.
I don't like it. Everything else is fine. It also doesn't match any of the other stuff. Like, she comes to the ring and she's got that graphic of the, the LED bars going up and down like she's listening to music. You know what I mean? Like, it all sort of, like, fits in a package. And then she's got this flower in her hair. And I'm like, it just doesn't make sense to me. Who put this flower in your hair?
Did Meghan Trainor ever wear a flower in her hair? Because that's who she is.
She's Meghan Trainor?
She's Meghan Trainor. That is who this character is. It's Meghan Trainor.
As far as I know, you know what? I'll Google it. Did Meghan Trainor wear a flower in her hair? My search history is going to be.
I'll talk about that.
This is going to ruin my algorithm.
Kevin Patrick is in the back. The Usos and Heyman are backstage. Heyman is joyous and confident and declares himself the warden of the Usos penitentiary. Kevin Patrick asks him if that's how he secured Lesnar's status as a free agent. Immediately, you want to talk about, to use an improv term here, an immediate status change from Paul Heyman from high status to low status here. Mm-hmm. The Usos stare at Paul and leave. Paul Heyman's, he's just great. Just great at everything he does.
Yeah. Yep. Consistently.
Yeah.
Everything he does. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. By the way, I did look it up. Meghan Trainor did wear flowers in her hair. There's an article from Allure.com. Meghan Trainor wore the prettiest flowers in her hair December 23rd, 2020. So I stand corrected. But I will say that Meghan Trainor's flowers are much nicer. And it's a flower crown as opposed to just one like old lily they shove. It's like they went to the grocery store and went, these are good. And they just like cut one of them and stuck it in her head.
Yeah.
Do better. I don't know.
No, Dewdrop.
Imagine they change their name to Do Better. I think that's a good idea. But it's not, you know what I mean? She's Do Better. And she's always telling everybody, you can do better. She's like motivational. Because that's kind of what the character is anyway, right?
She's
like,
Simon Dean.
Wow, she's a happier Simon Dean. Simon Dean was a bad guy. He's always mad at people.
Everyone's a bad guy. Then she'll get over, remember?
I know. Well,
Mansoor and Ali versus Carrillo and Garza. Carrillo and Garza being pushed as the flavor of the week here. Garza pins Ali. And like the afterthought, this is seconds after the bout. And I mean seconds. Like less than a three count after this bell rings, Big E's music hits and he comes to the ring. Like they don't care about Mansoor, Ali, Carrillo, or Garza. Mm-hmm. This though, I mean, we talk about, you know, Hardy was left in the ring and Shayna was left in the ring, but man, they left their champion in the ring, standing and waiting while Pierce and Sonya did the picks here. Yeah. This honestly, this blew my mind.
It's a formatting thing. That's all they're doing. They're just formatting the show so that people, a ring entrance, you think something's going to happen, go to commercial, come back, we continue the show.
So here are your picks.
Oh, here we go.
AJ and Omos. I am actually surprised at this one. I thought AJ was going to SmackDown.
Yeah.
Baszler to SmackDown. So AJ and Omos stay on Raw. Baszler goes to SmackDown. Raw takes Kevin Owens. And SmackDown takes Xia Li. Fresh off knocking out Mercedes Martinez. Not fresh. That was a long time ago. But Xia Li is the choice from NXT to move to the SmackDown roster. I guess they need another female, and that was the choice.
Do you think that they're going to ever start saying her name right, the way they've started saying Mustafa instead of Mustafa?
What did they call Xia Li?
They call her Xia. That's not how you pronounce that. It's Shuh. Shuh. That's how you pronounce it.
That's the
X is a SH sound, and yeah. Should be Shuh.
I didn't know that.
Xia Li. Yeah, that's her name. But they've been doing Xia.
Shelly.
Yeah, fair. You know what? It wouldn't surprise me if she just teamed with Doudrop somehow.
And
just
Shelly?
Just like Shelly. Doudrop and Shelly, everyone. And she just, the two of them skip to the ring. You know what? That's not so far off. I wouldn't mind it.
Oh, boy. All right. Big E promo, because he's just been standing there. He mentions Kofi Xavier were drafted to a brand he's not on. He made sure Bobby Lashley dropped to his knees. He's the rightful WWE champion. He mentions that Drew is no joke. He's an actual swordsman. And he invites Drew out. Drew comes out. Drew praises Lashley, but says he technically cashed in. Sorry, praises Big E, but says he technically cashed in on Lashley when he was hurt. Challenges Big E to a match. They are then interrupted. Rude and Ziggler come out. So, this was actually the most well-thought-out thing on the show. Where to WWE's credit, they use their own ridiculous history to make this angle work. Ziggler is upset that Big E didn't thank him when he won the championship. He throws to footage from 2013 when Big E debuted as Ziggler's bodyguard. True. Funny thing is, they don't reference. Did you notice what match they threw to here? Mm-hmm. Who Big E was destroying in the ring?
No. Who was he
destroying? Kofi.
Yeah. No.
Oh, you did notice with that sly smile on your face.
Yeah.
So he says, without DZ, there is no Big E. Then Ziggler turns his attention to Drew. He throws the footage of their tag team together in 2018. And Dolph just wants a thank you. Then Rude takes shots at Drew and Big E. Rude then says, they call you Big E. Well, they call me Big Bob. And Big E is right on top of this by saying, yeah, no one calls you that. Not even a person. Not even one person. Big E was extremely funny here. Extremely funny. Well, just well delivered. This was very well delivered from performance. After a very long promo, this leads to a match. Big E says, how about me, Big E? And then Drew jumps in and says, me, Big D.
Yeah, good stuff.
So, Mark, I ask you, this promo, which I compliment them for using the history of Dolph Ziggler.
100%.
And Dolph trying to take credit for both of these guys. And in a way, it's one of those things where a heel tries to do this, and it's like, he's not wrong, but the way that he's presenting it is so obnoxious that it makes you want to hate him. And that's a real key to being a heel. So kudos to whomever that wrote this. But do you think, Mark, that this promo was written backwards? And they started with one writer saying, oh, if Big E and Drew are in there together, he can call himself Big D, like Big Dick. How can we get there?
Some Big D energy. Yeah.
That's the beginning, and then they go backwards to write it.
Yeah, quite possibly. If they're going to be a tag team, which I think that I think I could get behind watching them as a tag team for a little while, that's like a Rock and Sock connection. Yeah, I guess. But Well, I mean, they've got like a week, right? 2 weeks?
Yeah, they got one more. Then next week they got to do a promo building it up against one another again.
I would like to see them as a tag team at Big E and Capital D. That was my only thought last night watching these two. I'm like, Big E and Capital D I could get behind. But of course they're going to call them Big D. Big D Energy, of course. Of course they are. I liked this segment. I like this segment a lot. This is a real highlight for me on the show.
Yeah, but I think best part of the show.
Really? Best part of the show? I think the best part of the show is coming up next.
The ad for King of the Ring and Queen's Crown being on Friday?
No. It's the Reginald.
Oh, my God.
The Reggie.
We're not even there yet. We still got to get to the... So you're there's right. Also, King of the Ring and Queen's Crown on Friday. Too much. It's mid-draft. We don't know where anyone's going to sit. They're doing these things now. I just think that there's too much going on to throw these into the mix. But anyway. Wait,
it's mid-draft. What do you mean? I thought the draft was over. That was night two of the draft.
The draft is over, but the draft hasn't gone into place. Like, they don't shift over to the new brand until October 22nd.
Oh, you're right. They're going to start this tournament and then switch it up. You're right. That doesn't make any sense.
What they could have done is this tournament should have been started the day after Crown Jewel.
Yes.
And then you had a Raw bracket and a SmackDown bracket of the tournament.
Yes.
And where does it end?
Survivor Series. Yep.
It's a no-brainer that completely works on their own timeline.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not hard. They've actually set themselves up for it, and they still took a right turn.
Hey, man, that's what this company does. Good enough for business.
In the aftermath of this match, Big E accepts Drew's challenge for a match at Crown Jewel. So we'll be getting that at Crown Jewel. We will have Crown Jewel coverage for our patrons. It will be the East Coast Dad / Smack Daddies doing a podcast immediately following Crown Jewel.
When is Crown Jewel again? Are we doing an after party for Crown Jewel?
21st. No after party.
In the middle of the afternoon or whatever?
Can't do it. Yep.
Yeah, fair. Okay.
Reggie's backstage. He walks up to Pierce because he's been told Pierce wanted to talk to him about the draft. Pierce says he got some wrong information. Reggie then turns around, walks into the Viking Raiders. Then he turns away from them. He avoids Truth, Tozawa, Gulak, and Maverick. Walks right into Apollo and Aziz. They have no interest in the 24/7 title. And that is the segment. He does acrobatics in the back in order to get away from everyone.
I love it. I love it. Great stuff.
Kevin Owens is in the ring. He doesn't even get to say anything. He's interrupted by Tozawa's music. They show highlights of Keith Lee beating Tozawa. And then Tozawa says he doesn't want to fight Owens. He wants to fight Reggie. Owens hits a stunner. And that's it. He doesn't say anything. Yeah. I mean, why would you want Kevin Owens to say anything? It's not like he's good at the mic.
I thought Kevin Owens' performance during this was top tier. Like, the look on his face, the, like, why are we doing this? Why is this happening? Was the most genuine, like, what is this? What is this? Can we end this segment, you know? Perfect. Perfect. And that's exactly what that character should be doing.
Pierce and Sonya are back out there. Raw took the Street Profits. SmackDown took the Viking Raiders. Raw took Finn Balor. SmackDown took Ricochet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then it's Nikki Ash. There's nothing to say about these ones. It's Nikki Ash and Rhea Ripley. There's an inset promo where Nikki confirms that they've been drafted to the same brand so they can continue to dish out BZKs. Boom, zaps, and pows. Who wrote that?
I love it. BZKs. That should be the name of our morning show. Mark and Jason in the morning. BZKs.
Sounds like BTK. Isn't there a band?
BTS.
BTS, all right.
Come on, man. I mean, you know, it's so idiotic that AJ and Omos are drafted as a tag team, but the women's tag team champions were afraid they were going to get split up in the draft.
There's a whole faction that was drafted. Like Hit Row.
How many? Four, five of them?
Four of them. Four
good,
of them drafted.
Good Lord. Like, these all drafted together, and the women's tag team champions were in danger of being split up. What am I to believe?
Yeah. Well, that's the problem. That's
what would you have so me stupid. Believe, WWE?
I spent 15 minutes with Matthew on the weekend talking about the nonsense of this draft and how it's just, you know, it gets to the point where you just sit and go, okay, I guess, whatever. And then, like, what do you take out of the product if you don't obey the laws of every other sport? Like, just obey the rules. You can break them occasionally. You need to obey them in order to be able to break them. Like, you need to reference them to break them. There are no rules.
Yeah, I mean, you know what the problem is there are rules. There are just so many rules that go that there might as well not be rules because they all go against each other. Like, there are rules to this draft, but then they just change them whenever they feel it's no thanks.
All right, from there, it's, Nikki and Rhea defeat Tamina and Natty. The announcers make it very clear that Natty's upset, so I feel like Natty and Tamina have seen their last time together, or they're going to push that breakup.
Yeah. No, they're different brands. They got split up.
Oh, did they get split up?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Pierce and Sonya are, they come out again. Raw has picked Karrion Kross, the Harbinger of Destruction.
Harbinger of Destruction, yeah.
Harbinger of Destruction.
They've been calling him that. Why not? Sure.
SmackDown gets Carrillo and Garza. Raw gets Alexa Bliss. That got a big reaction from the crowd, I noticed. When her name was said, she got a very big reaction. She won't be around for a while, guys. She is. She's having some nose surgery.
Yeah, what happened? Hope she's okay.
I think it's a sinus thing that she's having done.
Oh, fair.
Yeah. And SmackDown gets Cesaro.
Cesaro, who I was really glad to see. We haven't heard from Cesaro in a minute. Is he injured? I forget what happened to him.
Don't know.
Yeah.
Forgotten.
Well,
I think he's hanging out with Elias.
Well, wasn't that just last week that I was like, where's Cesaro? Where did he go? Cesaro and Asuka. I'm like, where did these people go?
Asuka not even drafted.
Yeah. Maybe it's over.
Goldberg and Lashley are face to face. Lashley only comes out to the entrance, not to the ring. Lashley says, "What happened to your son was a misunderstanding," which honestly, it was. That's the thing. Like, it was. Like, Lashley is saying babyface things here. But then, and also babyface, he insults Goldberg dressing like it's 1998 while he's in a suit.
Huge burn.
Hey. He's right. Yeah. He will give Goldberg a match at Crown Jewel, but only if that match is no holds barred. Okay. Goldberg says, no holds barred, gives him a license to kill. Oh, God. You want an apology? I'll apologize to your kids after I leave your lifeless body in the ring gasping for air. You're next, and you're dead.
So
this is a classic Andrade lean in right here.
This is the most cringe, like, what are you talking about? Stop talking. The whole thing doesn't make sense. First of all, like we said, it makes Lashley's right. Also, I'm going to leave you. What did he say? I'm going to leave you your lifeless body gasping for air.
That's correct.
Okay. Well, that's an inconsistent statement,
true.
Sir.
A lifeless body doesn't gasp for air.
No. Figure it out, you idiot. Also, did you notice he had a bruise on his face? All I could think was he was backstage punching himself in the face again before he came out.
Probably. There's no redeeming quality with Goldberg anywhere. I said it on the weekend. I'm on mouth's side now. I'm done. I'm done.
They should have quit while they were ahead. And this got overripe a while ago, and they had their chance to be like, you know what? We left it a little too long. Yeah. This banana's been on the counter for too long.
Yeah.
Let's put it away. Let's put it in the freezer or let's do something else with it. And instead they keep trotting it out for as if it is a young, fresh banana.
Yeah.
This
still
is
in that
not
lunch
young,
bag.
Fresh... No.
Still in that lunch bag and I don't want it.
No, that lunch bag has gathered moisture.
Yeah.
And it is molding in there. Get it out of there, please. And this is, I want to be very clear, this is no slight on Goldberg's age. This is not me, like, age-shaming Goldberg one bit, because Goldberg, you know, that's not what this is. This is, this program and this character has become overripe, and it's written, what's the word here? Idiotically?
Yes.
Come on. You're dead. You're dead.
So Goldberg's music hits, and Lashley stops Goldberg's music, and Lashley then threatens Goldberg's kid. And he asks Goldberg what he'd do if someone came to the ring and jumped on his back, and then cue the Hurt Business, because they did that, and Goldberg spears them.
You know, it'd be wicked if Bobby Lashley, if there was a character that came out that was to be Bobby Lashley's kid, and he just, like, he jumped Goldberg and then beat Goldberg up. Then we never see Goldberg again, and we just have this other character that gets drafted to the other brand, this young guy who's, you know, Bobby Lashley Jr.
kid.
I got bad ideas too, everybody. Don't worry about it.
So Kevin Patrick is with Seth. So Seth is now wearing a leather and fur coat with a pair of glasses that is right out of Becky's glove compartment. Becky and Seth are playing the same character. We talked about this earlier. They're playing wrestler. They're playing heel. Seth says he's a visionary. He's a revolutionary. He did everything here except woo, because Seth is playing Ric Flair now.
Mm-hmm.
Ric Flair and Conor McGregor.
I was about to say, the two of them both feel like Conor McGregor to me. But
yep.
Yeah. I'm so curious to see where this is going, because have you noticed this? It feels like all of these characters, like there's a company-wide mandate for these gigantic, over-the-top, bordering on 80s big, 1980s big characters. Like Happy Corbin?
Yep.
Happy Corbin is killing me. Happy Corbin is perfect, because I can't tell if I love Happy Corbin or I hate Happy Corbin. And whenever something confuses me that way, I'm like, I'm intrigued. I can't tell if this is the best thing I've ever seen or the worst thing. Madcap Moss, the name alone, and Happy Corbin just laughing for minutes on end. Like, what is this? And then he made him that joke that he made him tell on SmackDown.
Yes, yes.
I've got two short. Oh, you want a joke? I'll give you three jokes.
Joke.
I was like, you got to be kidding me. And then Corbin sells it like it's the funniest thing he's ever heard. This is beautiful stuff. Like, what? I can't tell. Is this the most perfect, beautiful thing? Or is this just trash? Is it both? I think it might be both. I'm very excited about, I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm so excited about Happy Corbin. And I'm so excited that it seems like all of these characters are getting like an 80s big push. Coat of paint is probably the better way to say that. Yeah.
The New Day versus Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin is next. Is it just me, or did Cedric and Shelton just get the crap beat out of them by Goldberg in the previous segment?
Yeah, and now they're going to have a match.
Okay.
Yeah.
New Day wins. The Street Profits walk to the ring. They promote the New Day Undertaker thing on Netflix, which we already talked about.
Very excited.
They're on Raw. They want the smoke. They hand Kofi a red cup. It has nothing in it.
No.
Kofi fakely drinks out of it and then dances. I guess it was a way of New Day giving the rub to Street Profits on the Raw brand.
Sure. I mean, I mean, Kofi dancing made this whole segment to me. I laughed my head off. I was like, yeah, man, get it.
Not into it. Nope. Orton and Riddle are in the ring. Orton asks if Omos is AJ's personal colossus or just a big bitch.
Dropping the
B-bomb. AJ and Omos come out. AJ promotes their match at Crown Jewel. Orton hits AJ. Riddle jumps on Omos. Omos seems ready for a match, but then Orton just RKOs AJ again in the skirmish, and Orton and Riddle run away.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, man, he's a legend killer. I don't know.
So here's probably the most interesting part of the draft. The final round Raw takes Carmella, whatever, Corey's happy, they've paired that couple together. SmackDown takes Ridge Holland. Yeah, so this to me is as surprising as Hit Row. I thought the NXT brand would be Hit Row's brand based all around them. They're the lead faction. And your other big superstar that seemed to be getting a push, this is before Steiner's kid came in, was going to be Ridge Holland. Mm-hmm. Nope. Ridge Holland gets the fast track to SmackDown.
Yeah. Get him out of there. Get him out of there now. They have a better chance of surviving on the main roster if they don't make an impact on NXT.
So then the next one is even more surprising. And it's essentially WWE trying to brag, but also is a major, major diss. In the final round, I believe the sixth round on this show, fifth or sixth round on this show, the final of all of the draft, aside from the ones that are going to be thrown to different sides on Raw Talk, is the Olympic gold medalist, Gable Steveson. Mm-hmm. You don't pick this guy right at the top of your list?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. But they're still establishing him as a star, right? So, if they put him at the top, he better come in good. Well, I don't think he's ready to come in good.
He's got to be ready by, once both Lesnar and Reigns toss away Paul Heyman, because this is the next big thing.
Oh, you think? You think that Heyman's going to team up with Gable Steve? Oh, wow.
He already cut a promo on TMZ about it.
Heyman didn't realize that. I did not realize that.
Oh, yeah. If they don't go that way, then they have made a mistake, which I don't put by them. But that is a way for this guy to get over, for Heyman to get this guy over and to be immediately in play at the top of the card. And, I mean, who knows? We've seen Olympic wrestlers come in before. Angle's going to be the exception to the rule. Angle took to it very well. And who knows what he's going to do? Who knows what Gable Steveson is going to do? But there is a program in place for him, for Lesnar, for Reigns. Mm-hmm. We'll see where they place him. Right now, they place him in the final bottom of the barrel round of the draft.
I don't mind it because you're not overhyping. You're hyping him because he's there, but you don't put him first because that's just going to create too much of an expectation on this guy. I'm okay with this.
I think it was better to leave him out.
Okay.
Surprise you with Paul.
Okay, I'll give you that for sure.
SmackDown then takes Sami Zayn.
Wait, what other Olympic gold medalists or Olympic medalists didn't do well? So Angle did well. Ken Patera did very well.
Ken Patera was a weightlifter.
Yeah.
Mark Henry was a weightlifter.
Yeah.
Who else? I mean, you have just a bunch of NCAA. I mean, you're right. They have done well. People with the Olympic training for wrestling do tend to do well. I mean, the ones that we know of, those are the success stories. I know they've had people come through the Performance Center and not done well. Mm-hmm. But they obviously have high expectations for Gable Steveson. And to strike while the iron is hot, I understand what they're doing.
Sure.
But we'll see. Bianca Belair versus Charlotte Flair is the main event tonight. And it's essentially what you got on SmackDown. Becky's on commentary. Bianca almost gets the win here with the KOD. Becky interferes, pulls her off. Becky beats down Bianca. Sasha Banks runs in and takes out Becky. Show ends with Sasha standing tall. The match at Crown Jewel is going to be Becky Lynch versus Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks. It's a triple threat for the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship. So what happens with these belts, right? Charlotte and Sasha are on SmackDown and Becky and Bianca are on Raw. Are they going to do like what the New Day did with Street Profits last time and just trade the belts?
That was the dumbest thing.
That could happen again, don't you think?
Yeah.
Because Charlotte and Sasha, out of these women that are in the top mix right now, Charlotte and Sasha are on SmackDown. Becky and Bianca are on Raw. Charlotte is not in this match yet, nor does she defend at Crown Jewel yet. And I don't know if they will because they're still pretty cautious of putting women's matches on these Crown Jewel cards. So do you do two or do you just do one? Probably just one. And that means it's Becky, Bianca, and Sasha for the SmackDown title. But Charlotte's already going to SmackDown. So will you have Sasha win and have both belts on SmackDown? I don't think so.
Yeah.
So then Becky's on Raw with the SmackDown belt and Charlotte's on SmackDown with the Raw belt.
I think they're just going to have the belts on opposite brands. Just to confuse you.
Everything's dumb.
The SmackDown Women's Champion wrestles exclusively on Monday Night Raw and vice versa.
Oh, boy. That is one of the things that they've actually, to their credit, even though it's kind of dumb, there's a world champion and a universal champion, so it gets rid of this problem of this switching brands.
Yeah. And they did take the, that red belt is gone, right?
Oh, they got rid of
it. I don't know when that happened, but I noticed it a few weeks ago and I was like, oh yeah, whatever happened. When did they change the red belt? But they changed it at some point. It's back to the black strap.
So here's what happened afterwards, Mark, on Raw Talk.
I just want to really quickly say that I thought the Bianca and Charlotte match was really, really good. I really enjoyed that match. The finish was what it was going to be, and I knew that going in, but I thought the match was really, really good.
I have a problem with watching matches when I know that there's not going to be an outcome. Mm-hmm. This match doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It just doesn't matter.
Fair.
Raw, going to Raw, or staying on Raw, drafted to Raw, Liv Morgan, Dana Brooke, the Dirty Dogs, Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Big Bob Roode. Jackson Riker, we will get to see more of. Veer.
Yeah, has veered off on his own.
Ah, well done. Mia Yim, no longer called Reckoning. Tamina, The Miz. Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander. And just Tegan Nox.
Yeah.
Not with Shotzi. No. So that means Shotzi stays on SmackDown. Natalya goes to SmackDown. Jinder Mahal is there with Shanky. Did Keith Lee get drafted on SmackDown?
I don't know.
Where's the Bearcat?
He did get drafted at some point. He got drafted last week, but I can't remember which way he went.
So here's who's not drafted. Bailey.
Yeah.
Eva Marie. Asuka. Elias. MVP, Lucha House Party, Lacey, but she's on maternity leave, and our new Australian friend, Outback Slapjack.
I like that. I like Outback Slapjack. Oh, I hope that's what they start calling him.
Outback Slapjack. I think we've got a winner. I just looked at his name now. I forgot he was called Slapjack, but Outback Slapjack could be his name.
Oh, that would be so good. Oh, please name him that.
Timey kangaroo down sport. Timey kangaroo down. Timey kangaroo down sport. Timey kangaroo down.
Well, I don't know. I'm excited about this draft. I'm looking forward to what happens. I think that Raw is getting and SmackDown are both getting a fresh coat of paint as Jason yawns. Oh, if that doesn't tell the story, I don't know what does. Me frantically trying to talk about why life is worth living and Jason just yawning.
Oh, my God. Oh,
brother.
So bad. So bad. Who cares? Who cares about it all? All right. Well, Crown Jewel is in, 2 weeks' time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been.
Yeah, we got two more weeks till we get to Crown Jewel.
Yeah.
At least, I will say, at least they did not do Crown Jewel and another show this month. They're exclusively promoting Crown Jewel as their pay-per-view this month, even though it's on a Thursday, and good for them for doing that.
Yeah.
There's no need to have more than one event.
Yeah. Yep. I hope everybody's okay. I hope they don't get whatever.
Oh yeah, the
held
last
again.
Time they would have gone over, right? They got held at the airport, very questionably.
Yeah, I hope everybody's safe and they wrestle a show and everybody's fine and everybody comes home. That's what I hope.
Yeah.
I don't even care if the show is good or not. It's like, yeah, sure. It'll be what it is. Everybody just get in and out, please.
Well, Mark, we're done for the morning. We're done our review. It's 8:17 in the a.m. on Mark and Jason in the morning. Hey, don't know what you're doing for the rest of your day, but Mark, what do you got going on for the remainder of your day here? What you doing after you leaving your home studio today?
I'm not leaving this home studio. I'm going to go, I guess I'll go downstairs and have an egg. And then I've got rehearsals starting in about an hour. Not quite. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. You?
I'm going out to be a newscaster.
Nice.
Got a couple interviews. Got to interview the mayor of Burlington today.
No way.
Yes. We have a weekly chat. My goal is to always, as the good journalist I am, my goal is to make her laugh.
As the good journalist, my goal is to make her laugh. Yep.
Listen, I'm on the round table as well now for News Talk 1010, and my goal is to always make the host laugh. But my new spot on the round table, I'm on Friday mornings now at 8:45, and I'm on a panel every week with Kathleen Wynne, who's the former premier of Ontario. Yes. Not sure how I got on this panel, but my new goal is to make Kathleen Wynne laugh and to make John Moore laugh. And now when I'm doing my actual interviews for the Halton News that I'm hosting, my goal is to make public officials laugh when I'm talking to them about relatively serious matters.
That's great. Thanks. Have you made Kathleen Wynne laugh yet?
I haven't. I've only been on one panel with her and I didn't get to make her laugh. The mayor of Burlington, I made her laugh last week. She was talking about that the city is planning transit expansion, looking ahead to 2030 to 2050. Because, I mean, you plan a city, you got to think ahead, right? And that's like, we're talking 30 years into the future. And I just looked at her straight fist and I went, okay, so you've told me 2030 to 2050. I'm just wondering if you will be in power for that follow through. And she burst out laughing. And she said, well, I am running in the next election, so I guess we'll see how it goes. I'm like, great, great way to end it. It's like information, smile, wrap it up, back to me in the studio. I throw back to myself in the studio.
I love that you throw back to yourself.
I don't actually, but I really should start doing that. I might do that today, Jason, now that I've thought about it. Jason, back to you. Thank you, Jason.
Thanks, Jason. I wish I lived in Halton.
I might actually do that. And you know what? There's no one that's going to stop me.
That's so funny.
So ridiculous.
You should cut together, like, if you make the mayor of Burlington laugh
cut a
every
laugh
time,
reel?
Which, by the way, I am, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this. I haven't signed anything. Roast Battles Canada is shooting season 2 this week in Burlington. So if you want to grab lunch or something. But you should cut together all the times you make the mayor of Burlington laugh as one mega clip and post that on YouTube. Just 3 minutes of the mayor of Burlington laughing.
I think she'd be kind of mad. But it's humanizing, really.
Yeah. No, you don't just cut her laugh out. You cut your joke that made her laugh.
Right, right, right.
This is a feature on you, not on the mayor of Burlington.
I see. I just don't want anyone to be angry at me. I want to be pleasant. We're not doing breaking, hard-cutting news here.
Thank goodness.
We're doing puppy dogs and ice cream. You know what I mean? The nice stories of the neighborhood is what we're looking at doing. So if I can put a smile on a face of a local politician.
Smiles on faces.
Smiles on faces, everyone. I try to book myself as a baby face and get over.
You put smiles on faces. Remember when that was the slogan for a minute?
Okay, well, that's my day. I got to go. Mark, have a great one with your rehearsals. And so here's the deal. Next week, we will, of course, be back here for your next episode of Tuesday Morning Cooked.
Oh, I don't like it. I don't like it. Oh, I'm looking at this picture of Meghan Trainor with flowers in her hair because it's still on my desktop here.
Uh-huh.
And I forgot. Do we have time for one last thing?
We might.
Jason, I love
So there you have it. That podcast can be delivered to you each and every week right into your inbox, along with all of our other podcasts from Sunday night's main event. We're not just on Sunday nights. We're on each and every day, and you can listen
on demand. And along with our wrestling podcast, we also add in a weekly 3-hour trivia show that I host on terrestrial radio across Canada. And we also add in Dan the Mouth Lavransky. Well, he loves two things in life. One is wrestling and the other is music. So we have Dr. Mouth's Rock and Roll Lunch Party for you each and every week as well. Because you know what, guys? There's more to life than wrestling. For all of these podcasts, sign up at patreon.com/snmeradio. Only $1 a week. Hey, it's a pretty good deal. patreon.com/snmeradio. Don't you dare miss it.